Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Gentleman's Talk. Hope you're all alright. Here we are on Reflection Sunday. Loads to talk about, loads that should have happened this week, loads that didn't happen this week, and it's been an interesting one, to be honest. I was going to even talk last night, but I was just tired. I've hurt my back, don't know how. Just getting old, I think, but I have had some ups and downs, and it was weird, really, because I sat there on, it was probably Thursday night, and I realised, and not realised, because it's always been there, but I really struggled on Thursday, because I realised it doesn't matter how much work you put into your mental health, it's still going to be a battle. It's still going to be a challenge. And, you know, I'll talk about the scenario of where I come to that sort of point, really. And, so hopefully it'll give you a bit of background on it and stuff. But, yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster of a week. I've had a lot happen to me personally, which has challenged me. And I've had a lot happen that I know that my attitude or, say, for not so much attitude, really, is probably the wrong word, but my decisions directly affected people that I knew were friends of mine. So it's a bit of a weird one, really. So, you know, I kind of done my podcast throughout the week, and then I normally have a little bit of a quiet one, because I don't want to over-egg this, I don't want to overdo it, you know, because you can get in there and just end up to the point where you're just going to drone on and just become a bore. And I'm not doing it strategically to try and, like, keep leaving people on knife edge, you know, and stuff like that, because it's not what it's about. This is just about as things happen, and sometimes when I talk too much, I can go into a little bit of a rant and not really have much context to it, so I like to see how things pan out through the week, and then when I get to sort of like Sunday, I really look forward to that. I really look forward to sitting down. Here I am now with some jazz on the background, a cheeky gin, and the birds that I've nurtured in my back garden through, you know, getting into a little bit of horticulture, you know, sort of kind of dealing with some plants and all that sort of stuff in the back garden, feeding the birds and trying to nurture that kind of pleasant tweety that you hear there. I will caveat that it's beautiful at this time of the evening. You know, the sun's just going down. My skin, just going to give you a little bit of context to what it feels like sat here. Skin's slightly heated from the sun today, which I know that is damaging to my skin, cancerous almost, you know. But hey, it's pumping me full of vitamin D, so I've had those feelings. So it's a beautiful noise, you know, but I can caveat that with, you know, if you listen to that noise at 4:30 in the morning, you probably want to get out a shotgun and fucking shoot them out of the sky. So there is a double-edged sword to nurturing a nice peaceful evening environment to a 4:30 in the morning, I want my fucking food, get up. You shut the window, then you overheat. So it's a mixture of feelings to what I'm nurturing in the back garden, but self-inflicted, so I'm willing to take it. Anyway, so yeah, roller coaster of a week, really. So I did my podcasts, and then I like to see what happens, and it did. I had a lot happened this week, and I can't remember, if I'm brutally honest, because I don't listen to my podcast, but last weekend I had an interesting weekend with my friends, so I was on that high I spoke about. You know, the serotonin was rushing through, and you know, I don't know whether I mentioned about my dog. If I didn't, it's probably going to bore you and think, oh, but I won't over-egg it. But yeah, anyway, he hurt himself, basically. So, and I let it play out. I was, like, giving him paracetamol, just keeping an eye on him, because I didn't know what it was, if I'm brutally honest. It was either going to be ligament damage. It wasn't a break. He wasn't lame. He wasn't walking dodge on it. So, you know, anyway, carried on. And I just said, look, I'll give it till Tuesday to take him. And I took him down to the vets, and I took him down on the Sunday and just got like an opinion, and then that's obviously cost you money, doesn't it? £60 just for literally a call out, and then I said, well, I'll wait till Tuesday, just see how it gets on, and it didn't go away. So Tuesday I finished my podcast on Tuesday, and Wednesday morning I booked in to go and see him, and I took him, I think it was about 3:00 in the afternoon, and I went in to see the vets, and a really nice guy came out to talk to me, and he's like, I said, oh, do you want to go in the room, take him in, because I know because of COVID you can't go in with your dog, and they just take your dog off. He's like, no, I'll just do it out here, mate, because I want to see him walk and all this sort of stuff. And I said, well, it's his front right shoulder, I'm sure, you know, it's tender when I go in there. And he said to me, I'm going to be honest, I don't think that's right. He said, you know, I know German Shepherds, and, you know, they're not... prone to shoulder injuries. It's normally round the elbows causing, it's like a secondary pain spot, you know, so you get, it's like me, I damage my back, but it's actually causes more pain in my neck and migraines like I'm getting at the moment than it does actually in my back. So, you know, it's that secondary area, it's where you have an injury and then it actually affects some other part, similar to the dogs. So I was like, oh, okay, so what do you think it is? And he goes, well, you know, it's one of four things. And I was like, oh, okay, fucking hell, that's good. Better to have one of four than it is to have, you know, one of two, you know, something like that. And I was thinking, that'd be all right. So he was like, it'll either be... But he did it in such a way that I was like, I can tell why he did it that way. And he was like, right, it'll either be a break. He said, but, you know, I've seen him walk. He's a little bit hesitant on the right front leg, like you said. And so it'll either be a break, but he's not producing any lameness. He said it'll either be ligament damage. He said, but, I mean, the guy was fucking, like, yanking his leg around. I felt bad, but Casper's so fucking strong when he's with me. He just looks at me as if to say, I don't like this, but I'm not going to show you any pain, and I'm not going to show him any pain. I'm here for you, brother. I'm not going to let him know that I'm pain, because I'm going to fuck him up if he pisses around with you. That's a German Shepherd brain. That's the only way I could think about thinking about the inside of his brain. He's like, I'm going to fuck him up. I ain't going to wake him. Think that I'm fucking Dan. I'm going to fuck him up. Anyway. So he said, oh, you know, it's one or two. I was like, that's the two. The other thing, two or four. I was like, okay, they're pretty okay. I know that a bit of surgery will sort out the break and possibly a long term. I know ligament damage is a bit of a killer. You know, you get your Achilles, your footballers are out for at least, you know, 6 years, and because they've played 2 minutes for £90 million. So they understand. I see those injuries. They're very long term, aren't they? And, yeah, so I was like, okay, so he moved on, and then he went, either that or it'll be, you know, chronic arthritis. And he says, and I'm feeling around, and he has got a creaking in his elbows. I was like, oh, okay. He goes, what's that mean? Well, no cure for that. He said, unfortunately, and there isn't arthritis, you know, fuck me. We'd have cures if we could have cured arthritis. We're certainly going to cure a dog, you know, if we can cure a human, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? So I was like, okay, but he did say, but, you know, there was a new drug that came out last year, Lalandopol or something like that, that's really good for arthritis in dogs, and you can give him an injection, and it's an injection for the rest of their life. I mean, he's 9, so, you know, he's good, you know, for 9. They live till 12, I think, depending, really, but they do deteriorate quite a bit. The thing with German Shepherds, they're amazing until they get to 9, 10, and then they just fucking crash downhill because, you know, they've carried around, I mean, he's carried around 43 kilograms of weight on, you know, four legs for, you know, 9 years, and they advance 7-1, isn't it? Oh, it's not. I know it's a different way of format, but they work it out as an average of 7-1. I know it's like 12 years at the start and like 4 at the end. Anyway, forever learning. So he said, I was like, oh, okay. So he said, well, there's an option there. He said, but the only way we'd know about that is through an x-ray and, you know, see if they can come up with something, see if we can see any of the things that they want to look for. I was like, okay, and that's like £800. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, okay. Well, insurance cover that, so that's fine. And he said, or it'll be a tumour. And I went, oh, okay, what's this then? What is this tumour you speak of? And he said, well, he said, if it is, he said, the only way we're going to find out is for a CT scan. It was about £2,500. And I was like, oh, okay. I said, fucking well, mate, my insurance only covers £2,000 a year, mate. So, you know, I already know I'm £500 in the hole, and that's just for the CT scan. So that's not including, like, operations and all the other good shit. So I was like thinking, well, I'm in the hole here for about £3,000 at least. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking, but... I'm going to caveat that 110% that money is no fucking object for my dog. Literally, I would sell a fucking kidney to fund my dog, you know, to make him comfortable. There is no money. There's no money. You couldn't put a number on it. I would find it some way, even if I meant becoming a fucking hitman and getting millions of pounds. You know, I'd do it, you know. So, anyway, that just shows my compassion for my dog. So... But he said, unfortunately, he said, by the time we get to a CT scan, you know, we'll get to the point where potentially it's too late, you know. And I was like, oh, He goes, what do you mean? He said, would have spread too far. Have to take the leg off. German Shepherds are like 60% of their weights on the front legs. So he's like, it's not a highly likely chance that he would go past if that was the case. So we were just making him comfortable. So I was like, okay, well, we're going to fucking stop there, mate. I'm going to go with the fact that we're going to give him painkillers for 10 days and the guy's going to fucking be an absolute hero because he is a machine. And, you know, and he did turn around to me and he said, look, I'm going to be brutally honest. He said, that is the one of the best examples of a German Shepherd at 9 year old that for temperament, looks, shape, coat that I've seen in a very long time. He's like, you look after him. I was like, he gets treated like a fucking baby, and I do have three daughters and two other dogs and a wife. So I literally give him the world. So he has given me, he gave me at the start, as you've heard, hopefully you've heard in my podcast, that I bought him to get me back up and out of bed on my first crash. And he's been there throughout. I've been with him almost every day for 9 years. So, you know, he means a lot to me. So anyway, I had that, which is a hardship at the best of times. But I spoke to my old man about that, and I was like, I'm just going to bury my head in the sand. And he was like, no, you can't do that. I was like, I fucking can. I will bury my head in the sand. It's not a place I want to go. There's probably, you know, two immediate people that would absolutely, you know, cripple me when I lose them in my life. And he, you know, my dog's one of them. So, and there's obviously other people that would lose, but I'm saying, like, you know, the people that I think that, you know, are going to be cause me the most heartache at a time where I'll remember too much. Anyway, so. Yeah, that struck me a little bit. But, you know, at the same time, I was battling some other things. And I was like, this is what I mean by how it's like a constant battle. It's pretty exhausting, actually. I'm not going to fucking lie. It's pretty exhausting fighting mental health. So I had that. And then at the same time, I had this occasion. So I had a really good friend of mine. I've spoke about him plenty of times. And I've even done a line with him, old Bilster. He was out on the Friday, the Wednesday, for his leave-in do. And no matter what I did, I could not fight the anxiety of not wanting to go. And it wasn't because of him at all. And hopefully I'll explain why. He organised, or his boss organised, his leave and do. And it was just to pop down and have a meal and you know, a quiet drink. But it wasn't about that. It was about, this is what I mean by mental health. Like, the guy that organised it, I know that the guy that organised is a very good friend of Bill's. And, you know, even he said something. He thought, you know, I told you about, and a couple of podcasts ago, I talk about at work, and I said, and he turned around and said I was very cutthroat. So I have a little bit of animosity towards him because he doesn't see life through my eyes. And I shouldn't do that, but I did. And then that played on my mind because I was like, I don't want to go there because I actually feel a little bit of negativity towards him, but I shouldn't feel negativity because he's actually a really nice guy. Just the way that, I don't know, that's mental health. It is crazy shit. It really is. And yeah, so I progressed on to that. And then also then it was like meeting other people. And I knew that, you know, the only person I really knew out of the group was this one person, Billy. And I didn't want to go there and then have to compete and talk to people that I'm not interested in. It sounds really stupid and really, really harsh, but I didn't want to put on a fake smile for a midweek do. I was kind of like, I didn't want to do that. And I was like, I'm going to go there and it's going to be 100% just a fake smile moment. It's going to cost me money. And it wasn't about the money in the sense of I would have done it if I really, really had to. But I was thinking, well, I've just been given a massive bill. So that was playing on my mind. I wasn't in a social mood anyway because of the fucking dog. So, but alternatively, the only thing that I felt bad about was the fact that I'd let him down. And I knew I'd let him down. And he knew I'd let him down. And I also now feel he thinks, to a degree, that James is going to let me down. So I was like, but I'm not like that. I'm not a letdown guy. I really fucking am not. I've been a bit confused. And I do get a bit confused from time to time. Hopefully in a future podcast soon, I'll talk about something that I was recently diagnosed with that will hopefully explain a lot to you. But I still need to understand it and learn it myself before I, you know, before I get involved in talking to you about it, because I don't know enough about it. Although I do, but I don't know enough about it before I can talk about it. And I want to understand myself before I start interjecting with this new diagnosis that I got. So, and it, but it's helped me massively. But I'd let him down, and I didn't want that interpretation. So, you know, I said to him, and do you know what I did? I fucking ignored it. I just went, I'm not even going to message him, and I didn't message him in the morning. Do you know what I mean? He even put a post on Facebook, and I hesitantly liked it because I was like, I don't want to like it, because then I'm acknowledging the fact that I know I'm not in that photo, and that was affecting me, because I'm not like that. But there's so many factors that go on with mental health that sometimes it's really hard to explain what you battle. And I hate it that I have to battle it. I fucking do. It breaks me that I have to battle this mental health. I don't know how to. I just got to develop it. And the more I talk about it, the more that I'm open with these people, the more that I hope that they understand that there is no malice intended in my behaviour. It's 100% like that. It's even to the point when I'm open and honest. I'm not looking to be an open and honest because I'm malice. If you fucked up or you've done something to affect me, I want you to know so we don't do it again. And that's almost like a reason I'm using this platform to talk and express myself, is because I want people to see that if you're open and honest with people and acknowledge it, or you understand it, even if you don't hear from that person, if you hear from the other side and you're sat there listening and going, oh, fucking hell, you know, I think my mate's a bit like that or something or whatever, you might be turning around and going, well, okay, that might explain why. He might be a complete and utter arsehole, and that might be not the case. But, you know, from my experiences, that's not the case. I don't do it out of malice. I don't. And I knew that I was finding excuses before Wednesday even came along. So I knew that. And then I didn't message him in the morning. So I didn't even say hello, mate. And I just ignored him. And I ignored him Friday. And it was only until Saturday where I think he needed to acknowledge it and say, and I could tell in the tone of his voice to his message to me that he was like, yeah, we haven't spoken a couple of days. And it was a bit flat. And I was like, look, mate, you don't realise. I straight away went, that's the icebreaker I needed to understand that I haven't upset you that much that you wouldn't want to talk to me again, because I didn't mean it to be like that. And I don't know how to articulate that. And that's the thing with finding out, just like even friends and how they operate and how they work. I'm not a horrible person. I've never have been a horrible person. My defense mechanism is to be horrible to people because I feel confident enough to do that. And that's a horrible thing to have. It's not a nice trait. But that's my trait, unfortunately, when you make me feel shit or you attack. Like even my daughter earlier on was getting a few shitty messages from people, and I wanted to message these girls back, and they're 11 year old. So I have to be careful about what I say. Even Zoe's like, you're not messaging them. I was like, I'm just going to tell them that they're fucking rude to my daughter. I get very protective over the people around me. That's why I'm not horrible to the people that I, if I've never been truly horrible to you, to the extent of you seeing what I can do to other people, then you know for a fact that that will never happen in the sense that I value you. But at the same time, there's a lot of people around me close, especially, you know, my best friend Kieran at the time. You know, he's seen me many times, and I have no filter. I don't. And again, my previous undiagnosed condition to go along with my PTSD, is prevalent. You know, it shows why. But it was never meant in malice. But again, we ignored each other for like 3 or 4 days. And then he said to me, and I was like, look, mate, actually, I've got a bottle of really nice champagne here, and I've got some flowers for your missus, and I wanted to come over tomorrow and say fucking goodbye and see you personally. I didn't tell him I had the champagne and flowers. That was in my head. I was just articulating what I said in my head. So I was like, yeah, man, I want to come over and say fucking goodbye personally. And plus, that meant more to me than going to a fucking pub and talking with people that I don't fucking care about, and you know, and I don't mean that in a horrible way, I wouldn't have got much value out of that evening for me, because I'm never going to see those people ever again, and it would have just been paying money really to sit there and endure anxiety, I suppose, over it. And I think I'm at the point where I'm like, I just don't want to do that. That's just, you know, I'm fucking 40, mate. But I don't want to articulate that, because the actual occasion, it wasn't like it was an occasion that you could chin that off. That's what I mean. That's where the negative bit for me came in. It was actually saying goodbye to somebody who's, you know, invested in me, and I've invested in them. And, you know, that was the bit that hurt. I didn't want to let the guy down. So it was a constant battle. Anyway, so I went round to see him before he left today, and I was like, dude, here, bosh, have some flowers. have a bottle of champers, and I'm fucking gutted to see you go, mate. But I know that you're going to get this fresh start. It's going to be good for you. And as soon as you settle, please, and I mean within months, get me the fuck across, and you know, and I'll have a weekend across with you. So, absolutely incredible. That's what that was more. That meant more to me than his, you know, than going to a pub. And also, I'm doing my own personal gift for him. So I've already told him, so don't worry. He's given me a bit of slate to do something with. And I didn't want to do something for just random person and fucking sell it. But the fact that it was his piece of slate, I'm going to do some poppy artwork on it and res it in. And I said, I'll just, when I come across, I'll bring it across. Or when you come across, you can have it there. And again, I refer back to when you get a gift from me, it means a lot more than just a gift. You know, it means that, you know, I care and I value you as a person. Excuse me while I take a bit of sipper. I think it's dry throat from the gin is lack of. Hold on. Spiffing. Don't know why I said that, but I'm going to go over it. So that's a roller coaster of it. And then, of course, I had the emotions then, battling, you know, not talking to this guy, knowing I'd fucking let him down. You know, I'd had the previous weekend where I'd kind of fucking had the faux pas. On the Monday, I had the faux pas with my best mate when I fucking gave him shit for not talking to me, and he was in a fucking funeral for his family. You know, it was just like a mixture of things, and I was fucking batshit crazy. And then I got to Friday, and, you know, I was obviously battling with this whole fucking mental health is like annoying. It's fucking so frustrating. It's so exhausting. And then I was coupled with, you know, kind of my friend Nelly coming on and saying that, you know, he wasn't in a great place and you could hear it in his voice. And, you know, how are you and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, well, yeah, I don't, you know. And so I had the challenge to try and seek how I can help him. And so I did, I re-engaged. I missed his telephone call because we game on a Friday. That's my release, my fun. And that, you know, that, and again, I'm battling with that side of things. So I try to do things as much as I can. But I will caveat that. But I am trying with these. I'm trying with everybody that's around me. I'm trying to. I use this app called How About, and I know it's a bit of a pain in the ass, but when we get used to it, it's really good. And I'm trying to get people to go on there because we've all got families, so we all do things. But I'm one of these ones, I don't like disappointment. So. Unfortunately for me, I'll invite most people to something three times. And if I get to the third time and I've invited you and you've declined me, normally I go, fucking, I say, I can't do any more than three. It used to be the same. I used to let people, when we used to listen to ringtone, like dial tones. This is how bad I was when I was younger. If it was more than three rings, that was it. When it rung three times, a full stroke, I was out, fucking hang the phone down. Three was a magic number. That's a song as well. Three. It's a magic number. I think it is. I'm sure it is. So I had all that to battle with and exhausted me, really. And then, like I said, I went over to see the Bilster today and I was like, boom, there you go. A little gift from me. And just to give it the personal touch and say, look, mate, I know I didn't come over to the Leave and Do, but, you know, there was a lot of mitigating factors in the sense that, you know, I was dealing with my dog and all the other shit, you know, and also, you know, disposable income's tight at the moment, you know, and I was getting hit with this big fucking bill from the dog, and the dog is obviously going to consume me. But like I said, I'd sell a kidney, you know, I've got my bike up for sale, you know, to try and sort things out. So there's a mixture of things we're dealing with at the moment, you know, and it does take its toll, you know, but at the same time, you know, I should have made the effort with him. But that's why I proved that I'm not a horrible person, but meant more to me seeing him on the Sunday. And then also I got to meet his fucking lovely wife as well, and we were chatting away, which was really nice to put a face to the sort of name, and like she said, she put a face to the name as well. So I got a lot more out of that. For me personally, I got a lot more personal out of that. I know that, you know, I should have been there for my friend. But at the same time, I got a lot more selfishly out of going around and handing a personal gift to him without it being watered down with all the other plethora of gifts he'd have got from his friends. And so that meant more because it was that personal touch. And I got to see him and relax because I've been hearing how he's been stressed with moving and stuff like that. And then from there, I went off to play some golf today. So I had a driving range, which fucking crippled me, my back. But again, I had a lovely time. I met up with my mate, my best mate Kieran, and we went played a driving range. So we went from the driving range, smashing balls, got to meet a couple of people down there, got chatting away. That was all right, just sort of kind of chilling out. And then we went to the pub. So me and Kieran went to the pub, and that was kind of our man time, if you like. And I'm allowed to say that because it is, you know. And we were chewing the fat and sat there over a nice pint of, I don't know what it was. It was some crazy cider. It was lovely. It was lovely. It was nice and refreshing, crisp, like a cider on a nice, crisp day. Like when it's hot outside and you just get that thirst quench. Anyway, I digress massively with that bad boy. As he says, as he's got himself an iced gin, pink gin to the side. Pink for the man. All right, in this case. So, we sat down, and that was an hour or so of just talking about family and, like, getting things off our chest and stuff like that. And it's really important you not to harbour and deal with these. And I spoke to him about, he's actually the first one I've told, believe it or not, I've not even told my wife, but he's the first one I told about mine. And it's just because it came up, and I think it was kind of, like, relevant for him to understand, because he's been there almost every day, you know, for the last 28 years. I don't mean almost every day, but, you know, we worked together for like 7 years, and I saw him almost every day. So he's been there through all of the rocky roads, and you know, it's nice to get diagnosed and know that it's not just PTSD, it's just not an element of something else. You know, but what it sort of gave me, so I had a chat, and we didn't dwell on it. It was more about, actually, I just wanted to listen to him. I know he's going through his own battles with mental health and his family and stuff like that. So, and I won't go into that, but it was actually sad to hear the story at the moment, because, you know, his issues that's going on has been raised. It's been raised with the doctors and all that sort of stuff. But it was interesting that even in 2022, and, you know, when I talk about my diagnosis, and you'll understand that I was born in 1981, so this is where it's crazy that my diagnosis has come at 40, when, you know, everyone says we're getting a grip of mental health, and we're in 2022, so of course, you know, I mean, Christ, my brother's got dyslexia, and we know he has, he's open about this, but he was never diagnosed through that, through school, at all. So he struggled and struggled and struggled through school. And even my diagnosis that I've got now, you get it from a child, wasn't diagnosed. But when you look at the patterns, and this is where I've spoke to three independent psychiatrists about this over the last couple of months, I've kept it private to myself because I've paid for it and I wanted to do it myself. Because I wanted to understand. And anyway, so it just goes to show that we wouldn't have been diagnosed, because the NHS system and everything was appalling. Mental health was non-existent, you know? So, but I can caveat that with, in 2022, we're saying we're better and everything else. And then he's going through a process where even in 2022, the doctors are failing him. And this is where mental health should be, or, you know, whatever it is, should be on point. He's not getting the support he needs. So then he has his own mental health concerns and issues, which I know he's chilled out and laid back, so he'd never really admit he would, but there'll be an element of stress with dealing what he's dealing with. So for me, it was about sitting in the pub, and we just spoke. He sent me a private message just saying, you know, thanks for chewing the fat, mate. And I was like, God, that was a high-pitched voice. Hey, thanks for chewing the fat, mate. I'm going to have a spiffing bit of drink because I embarrass myself. I don't go high pitch, but I clearly do there. I had a dry throat. It was like a whistle in the throat. So he is going through his elements of things. And, you know, it's an interesting that even though we say we're on point and we're getting better, which we are, but I still feel we have a long way to go. And, you know, I had to find out privately through my own money to find out what was wrong. I did go through the NHS route as well for an independent, free diagnosis, because I was like, why not? You know, I'm going to pay for this one. And it's what I did when I went through and I was diagnosed with permanent PTSD. I did exactly the same route. I had the insurance pay for a psychiatrist who had her own team of psychiatrists that used to analyse everything together at the end of it. So I knew that I was getting really well cared for there. I paid for a few CBT therapies of my own for another company, and I went through the NHS route. Now, obviously people are turning around to me and saying, well, that's an abuse of thingy. Not really, mate, because I went through the free route that I pay for and I, you know, pump money into every single fucking day. You know, so in my NHS, probably more than most people fucking get. In wages in a month, and you know what I mean? So I definitely contribute. And I don't mean that in a big-headed way. I'm saying I have paid my dues, you know? So for me personally, I will take that option to see as... If you're going to get that option to get free, independent, you know, diagnosis, you might as well take it. And then if I'm paying on the side for my own self, I even paid for an online assessment and done it through a medical online assessment as well. So I had four people theoretically that have diagnosed me. So, but even in 2022, we're still talking to the point where it's difficult. It's even difficult just to get the free help now. Do you know what I mean? It's taken three times longer to get free help than it has done, obviously, because I'm paying for it. And that's the difference. So endured it and dealt with it. But at the same time, we're not getting better. And this is where I was literally talking to a guy on the golf range today, and he was saying that, you know, it's like the statistics for male suicides are just absolutely astronomical. It shouldn't be that way. But the pressures we put under ourselves, we put ourselves under are just, and the stuff we have to endure. And we try to have that recreational time, and sometimes you just don't get enough. And like I said, it's a constant battle. I have been battling. And it really got me low this weekend, to the point where I was quite sad at the weekend. I must admit, last night I was sat there last night just having a gin in the back garden with my hoodie on, relaxing, just listening to nice relaxing sounds I've got in the background here again. And, you know, I got quite sad because of the emotions I'd gone through this week and the people I'd let down and listening to potentially my dog, you know, and... you know, all these little things are crazy. They just absolutely consume us. And also the fact that I had such a good weekend the weekend before, massive engagement with my brother, you know, and I'm kind of like chomping at the bit to get back out and have another good night. Do you know what I mean? And I'm sort of like trying to lock stuff in because I'm like, fuck, I need something to look forward to. I need to get going. I need to get this, get back on this natural high. Just grab hold of the serotonin while I can. And I am trying to get there, but I think I've acknowledged through my honesty, I have to be, I've stopped trying to just please people, just to be honest, because ultimately you always end up hurting people, and if you're not honest, and sometimes it's better to hurt them honestly than it is to, you know, hurt them dishonestly, and lie, and say you're going to be there, or say you're going to do this, or say you're going to do that, and then just don't fucking turn up, or just don't do it. You know, you're going to be that letdown. And I'm conscious I don't want to be that, which is why I openly talk all the time about my feelings because and my emotional journey that I go through and mental health, because I do it for an education piece in hope that this doesn't just reach people that need it in the terms of like me or trying to look for advice to get out of the hole they could potentially be in, but also for people that could be friends of people that are that they're like, well, yeah, fucking Dave's acting a bit weird, actually. He does kind of fit the bill there. Or, all right, well, I never really looked at it from that side. I can see you're a bit fucking outrageous, or you're a bit like this, or you're a bit like that, but I don't understand. When I see you, you're fucking brilliant, on point, and then when I don't see you, you fucking let me down. And I want people to understand that it is a journey. It is craziness. The stuff that goes through your head, even my missus said to me, I don't know how. I was in the morning. I woke up in the morning, Saturday morning, and I was fucking angry, like raging. My back's swelled up. I mean, I shouldn't have fucking gone and swung some golf clubs today because it's actually throbbing now. But my back was swollen up. So I was very irritable. And with the irritability bit comes, you know, the anger. And anger comes that coping mechanism that I used to turn to. So I know anger and I know how to get straight to the fucking core when I'm cutting people down. And even my missus was like, wow, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fucking all right. What's your problem, sort of thing? And then as the day progressed and I got exhausted, I was getting emotional. And she was like, you're right, you look really sad. I was like, yeah, I am really sad. I don't know why. And she was like, I don't know how you fucking do it, mate. She was like, I don't know how you go through so many emotions in one day. You're like a, you're worse than our 15-year-old fucking teenage girl, you know. And I'm like, I don't know. And she was like, I can see you're in pain. She saw the pain in my eyes. I was like, yeah. So I took, normally I take, I've spoke about this, I told my mate today actually, I normally take 500 milligrams of muscle relaxer, and last night I took 1,000 milligrams of this muscle relaxer, and all it did was make me feel drunk, but the pain was still there, it was so intense. Almost feels like I've slipped a disc and I'm walking around with it, possibly fucking am, I don't know. But it just made me drowsy, and I went upstairs and I was like... I mean, I listened to myself on my little fucking recording, and I was like, I think I died about three times in the fucking night. But it was just get rid of this pain. So I woke up, and she was like, hey, you're just fucking crazy, mate. The what goes on in your mind? And I'm like, I wish I could explain it. That's just what you outwardly see. You don't see what's going on in the head, where I'm fucking like going loopy, or I'm fucking like, oh my God, that person's really fucking hurt me, or, you know, the thing I'm battling at the moment with work and saying, oh, he's fucking incompetent, and you're trying to be nice because you can't be that fucking person, and you're just trying to go fucking rah rah rah, and then you're sat there trying to battle this need and thirst to learn, this need and thirst. I mean, I texted my brother last night, he didn't reply to me actually, so if he listens to this, you're a fucking wanker, because you should have replied to me last night. I was like reaching out to him saying, all right, buddy, I really need to travel. And I did last night. I was sat there and I think I was staring at the stars, and I was like, I really need to travel. I need to see someone else. I was watching some little video clips on Reels, Facebook Reels, and you know, it was just loads of people in holidays and stuff like in different places, and I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I need to travel. I always say to myself, you know, travel where you can, you know, you can get money back, but you can't get time back, which is always, you know, I think it was Bruce Lee or Jackie Chan, or I think it might have been Jackie Chan actually, that actually said that. He was like, you know, make sure you travel, because you can get your money back, but you can't get time. Interesting, isn't it? But anyway, so I text him, and he hasn't even replied now, actually. So it goes to show, you know, where do you sit on the priority list, mate? You know what I mean? Just saying, throwing it out there, bud. Throwing it out there. You're picking it up. Anyway, so, yeah, it was. It's been interesting. It's a battle. And I kind of sat there, you know, kind of a bit sad, a bit stressed out. And, you know, and I think it was that reality that I am constantly fighting this. And one of my key things this year, excuse me, well, I just scratched my leg. One of the key things this year that I'm trying to my hardest to do is, whilst I fight this depression and whilst I fight this fucking PTSD mental health shit, I'm trying to better myself all the time. I'm trying to push myself into scenarios I wouldn't normally. I even text a couple of friends last night that, you know, I would never dream of texting, because I was like, oh, just engage with them, you know, and even then, you know, I didn't get responses back, you know, and one guy was responded back to me, like really blunt, and I turned around and said, oh, fucking, next time, mate, remind me that not to message you, because your conversation starter skills are shit. I was pretty honest, and he went, oh, sorry, bud, and then started talking to me, and I was like, all right, well, you were, your reply was shit, mate. I was after a conversation, I was trying to engage, mate. And then I text another friend who I just recently stayed with and fucking said, oh, mate, how are you? Cheers. Sent him a photo saying cheers. Got fuck all back. Sent the same photo to my mum and dad. And my dad texts back. Mum just fucking ignored me. So she sent me some stuff today. So I just fucking chinned her off as well and went, that's what it's like to be ignored, mate. So, you know, yeah, that's petty. That's petty. But, you know, it fucking hurt me. So I'm just going to go jog on then. If you're going to ignore me, I'll fucking ignore you, mate. Bit like, you know, what you do, innit? You sit there and go, if you want to make me feel like, I'm going to make you feel like it. Anyway. But I was just sort of sat there and I was like, my biggest ambition this year, whilst I plug in and get myself sorted, and I try all the time, because I acknowledge I regress. I mean, I go through four or five different emotions a fucking a day, it feels like. You know, I go through, I go crazy, you know, I've got different levels, and I get to the point where I know where I'm going to sit in the week, which is why they sort of kind of originally tried to diagnose me with bipolar disorder, because they were like, you're a fucking roller coaster, mate. But it was... it wasn't a sustained, you know, it didn't happen all the time. I could go for a couple of months and it wouldn't happen. But I don't know, it's crazy. You know, you're trying to find, like, even at 40, almost 41, I'm still trying to find a diagnosis, you know. I'm still trying to find my route. I found it now, but which means I can hopefully research and learn about it and talk about it in the future. But, my goal is to get off antidepressants this year. That was my goal. That was my real... I've been on them for 5 years now. And I've gone to the point where, you know, I don't want to rely on it too much because I need the anti-anxiety one and, you know, the PTSD one. So the anti-anxiety sort of costs, I think the one I take, it does the both. So I was just like, I just wanted to remove the antidepressant from the mix. But I have been told since getting diagnosed with my new diagnosis that the doctor said, look, that's probably going to curb you. It's probably going to bring you down because I've spoke quite heavily about in with my CPD, cognitive behavior therapy, CBT therapist, and we've looked over my whole life, right back to memories I have as a child and stuff that my mum and dad had told me and all this, and they said that, you know, the antidepressant is probably keeping you at a mellow state so you don't have to, because, you know, PTSD and this other thing, it becomes difficult, you know, so it's probably keeping me, but then I get the side effects that go with it where I get tired, exhausted, I put on a bit of weight because it slows my heart rate down. There's all these mixtures I don't want to try and endure, so I'm trying my hardest, and that's the reason why I've had to change my diet and all sorts. So I've come completely off dairy. I don't know what that is, whether it's something that, whatever fucking label that falls under now. I don't know, but I'm not on dairy now. So, you know, I just have almond milk and I completely stay away from any of the cow stuff. Specialist, I have plant-based fucking butters and all sorts now. So, but that's helping me in my diet because it's reduced my cholesterol and all the other good stuff. So I'm constantly battling, and I've just really just spoken to you about a couple of scenarios that have happened this week that you battle, you know. It's even to the point where I know I'm joining this group in Andover on Monday, and already I know I sit there and go, I won't turn up to it. I'm just gonna, now, you know, because am I gonna see myself going to fucking Andover to do that? I probably don't, so I'm just gonna waste people's time. So, and it's not because I'm lazy, I don't want to go across on my own. I don't know anybody there. I'm not interested in extending my friends group that much. It's really hard because, you know, at the same time it's becoming a part of something, so I'm battling my own things now. I'm still battling that tomorrow, you know, and already I'm sat in there going, do you go across and endure it and just, you know, smile and wave and then probably try to appease everybody by saying yes, yes, yes and just never go, you know, or are you just gonna be honest and go, fucking, you know, yeah, thanks very much, mate, for the hard work, really appreciate it, but not my bag, baby. I don't know. It's that's what I mean. This is where I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. This is the mental health journey. This is why I'm so invested in a little group of honest, trusted people, and I don't push myself that much. But one thing I am doing is I'm going wakeboarding this way next week for a positive. I'm going to take a half day. It opens at 12 o'clock, and I'm going to take a half day on probably Wednesday. I'm going to go down if it's nice weather, which I think it is, and I'm just going to fucking go in the water, mate. Just my shorts and my vest, my t-shirt, you know, my impact vest. And I'm going to go across and do some wakeboarding, man. And I know I didn't want to go on my own, but I just know it would be great for me. You know, I'm not going to do backflips because I'll kill myself. But yeah, I'm trying to push myself all the time. It's exhausting. That's the only thing I can say. I want everyone to know that listens that, yes, it's exhausting. And the reason I talk about this, the reason I get stuck into these is because I want people to see the other side. I want people to see the side that is battling as well. Just so you can put context that, you know, when I do things, it is a big deal for me. And when I do go to these events and when I do make friends and when I do make the effort for you, it's a big deal to me, you know. And when you make the effort for me, it's a big deal to me. That's what I mean. And that's why I don't extend myself out too much, because if I extend myself up too much, that's when I start getting disappointment. And that's what I don't want anymore. And I know that people are like, well, you know, that's life. And no, it's not life, though. I don't have to be. I mean, I genuinely would probably be quite happy living in a fucking cave right now in the middle of nowhere with no fucking worries. The way that the society puts stress on you, strain with fucking bills and the need for new things and all that sort of stuff, it's crazy, you know. I fucking went to a boot sale this morning and, you know, there's people haggling over, I was selling a T-Mobile fucking professional bat, table tennis bat. I bought it for like 60 quid, and I was selling it for a tenner, and this guy goes, oh, I'll give you a fiver. And I was like, oh, no, mate, no, don't be a dickhead. He goes, well, I can get it for 12 quid in the shop. I was like, you can't get that one. You can get your cheap, shitty fucking, like, balsa wood fucking bats, mate. But that's society. And you just sit there and go, I don't want to deal with people anymore. This is why I don't extend myself past my little group, because I have to deal with people like that. And I just look at you and go, I just want to fucking headbutt you, mate. You know, I'm just fucking, you're quibbling over a fiver on a £60 bat, mate. Do you know what I mean? You can't get this bat in the shop. Don't be fucking stupid, mate. Couldn't even get it. I got it off the internet cheaper than I can get it in the shop, and still it cost 60 quid. You know, I don't buy cheap stuff. But I just don't like people for that. That's why I hate marketplace. I hate selling, because I don't like, it's just, that's the fucking price. Pay, and I don't haggle, and I always round up. I never round down. You know, and I round, and that's even if someone's lent me money, or no, I don't ask for money to be lent, but if someone say they'll go and pay for something, you know, and it's fucking six fifty. I'll just fling him 7 quid, mate, because I just put in 7 send. You know, and also 50p for the convenience of fucking helping me out, mate. That's the way life is. That's the way I always am. I'm always thankful for these. But anyway, I digressed massively, didn't I? I don't know. I just got off on a tangent. I love it. But yeah, that was an interesting week, really, to be honest. It was a struggle of a week. And I loved coming on this platform and talking to you, and just want to really jump out there and sort of kind of just let people know that are listening that it is crazy. We are in a crazy world. The world is crazy in general. And the more and more that we see social media, the more and more we feel we're missing out on things, the more and more we feel, you know, that the constant pressures of life. And I've had to, the only way I can get to where I am now is because I've consciously removed those pressures in life. I've removed social media to an extent. I've got one social media platform that I know I can engage with the right people on. And I can dip in and out as I want to learn new things, follow a page, get information, remove it. But, you know, all the other social media platforms just made me feel inadequate, just made me feel fucking like I wasn't living my best life. And I'm like, well, what is your best life? And it also gave me vision or view of things that were out of my reach that I had to get in debt to go and reach. And that's how they fucking cripple you. And that's just a stress that men don't need. So, you know, and I think that the key to my success at the moment is honesty. And I'm finding now, when I'm not honest with people, that actually it causes me more stress than it is by just being honest. And I know sometimes those honest words can be hurtful. And some, no. They shouldn't be hurtful. You should never be honest to be hurtful. I'm not honest to be hurtful. I'm honest to let you know the truth of what's happening with me. So if I tell you something, no, I'm really not going to go to that, mate, but thanks. You should be able to accept that, as in you should be able to go, do you know what? All right, mate, no worries. I'm going to have a good fucking time, but, you know, I'd appreciate you there. I don't feel like it, mate, because of X, Y, and Z. Oh, that makes fucking total sense. Otherwise, I know some people tell white lies, and that's where I go. You tell a white lie to save people's feelings. But I'm learning that that isn't the case. I'm learning that it hurts everybody's feelings when you tell a white lie to not go to something, not see somebody, or not. You know, if you don't genuinely like somebody, then just disengage with them. You know, don't try and string the fuckers along and go, yeah, we always thought it was going to be different. It's not different. You know, if I like you, I'll engage with you. If you like me back, you'll engage back. When you stop engaging, I'll stop engaging back. And that's it. I get the point. I'm the dick. You know, you're that person that you could have been to me. I'm that person to you that you could have been to me. So I accept that, because I'm like Marmite. You either love me or fucking hate me. I get that. I'm not really bothered. I've accepted that. I'm here to learn. I'm here to, you know, I've realised that, you know, my purpose really in life at the moment is, and I'm not labelling my purpose, because I hate labels. I think unless you're going to use the label to better yourself, then what's the point in putting a label on it? If you're going to put a label on something to just shout from the rooftops, you, do you know what I mean? That's one thing I didn't do, was I didn't tell anyone. Nobody in my job knew I had depression and PTSD. Absolutely non-fucking person. The people that did know were the ones that were really close to me, but none of my work around me knew I had it until I physically told them, which was years after it, because I never shouted from the rooftops what I had. And the only time I told people when I had the problem was because I wanted them to help me along the journey by if you really loved me, you'd have learnt about the problem. And if you also loved me, you'd have understood the problem, at least as a minimum, to help me across with it. That is the true friendship. So, but anybody that shouts on the rooftop that, oh, fucking, I'm depressed, I've got... No, you haven't, mate. You're using this because you're looking for that vote. You're looking for that sympathy vote. If you get a label on something, like for me, I know that you're all probably sat there going, I want to know what you're diagnosed with. No, because I'm not ready to talk about it, in the sense I've got a lot to learn. I want to learn about myself. That's more important to me because I want to progress with my own life. I want to progress with me being a better person. Because everybody around me, my little group of people that I really enjoy their company, are the important bit. So I want to better myself to better their lives. If I can help better their lives and better my life at the same time, then that's a working friendship. That means we're working together. And I know for a fact that the people around me, I would like to think, will do that for me. I will help them and they would in turn help me. But like I said to you, it's about common communication. If I've reached out to you, you need to reach back. Make the effort back. And this is what I'm saying. Otherwise, you get to the point where you go, nice, I'm setting time aside now. I'm fucking done. And I just become brutal. And that's the honesty. So I've got a very difficult conversation with my boss tomorrow because I have to be honest. And I think that we're in a better place when we're honest. But yeah, hopefully, probably not talk about my thing in the next couple of days. I've got Motivational Minute tomorrow and a good podcast tomorrow as well. But like I said, you know, just wanted to acknowledge that mental health's a journey. It's a constant battle. It's exhausting at times. And I want people to understand that there is a second side. There is a person that's actually fighting this. And it's okay to be hurt on the outside, yes. And it's not a superficial hurt because I like people's company and I'd like to hope people like my company. So I understand when I'm not there what it's like because I know what I feel like when you're not there. So I understand that. I get that. Except I need to caveat that and underpin it a little bit with... I am battling something that is quite consuming, and hopefully in one of the podcasts, hopefully this week, I get to talk a little bit about this extra bit that I need to learn and adapt to. But I also want people to know out there is see aside from this. Maybe your friend is like that, and maybe you give them a little bit of slack. Maybe you'll just encourage them in a different way. That's the important bit. It's sometimes setting your own feelings aside to understand other people's feelings. But yeah, thanks for listening. I've got a lot out of this. I'm really relaxed, real chilled. Got some really good music on, and I'm just going to go in and chill out. So finish my gin. So I hope you have a lovely rest of your day or whatever's left from when you've listened to this. And I'm reaching out to the people that acknowledge it's a constant battle, and you know we need to be open, we need to be honest, and we need to progress. And if you've been diagnosed, don't sit there and use it as a sympathy tool. Don't do that. That's an easy way out. Learn how you can better yourself. Learn and achieve that. Progress yourself. Yes, here I am. There's days where I'm on a high and I'm great. Wee. And then there's days when I'm almost in tears. Yeah, they're there. And, you know, that was Saturday night. I could have quite happily cried my eyes out when I was running through the week. And that was just a week, you know. And that's not weak in the sense of W-E-A-K. That's weak as in W-E-E-K. So, you know, that's in a week. And that's where it got me to. It's an emotional roller coaster. And here I am now, fucking trying to drink a gin to get rid of the pain in my back from playing stupid golf earlier, but I enjoyed it. Put myself through it to, you know, be there for the people that I care for. So I'm looking forward to this week. So make sure you wake up tomorrow. Engage with those friends of yours again. Get out there, reach out. Find out the ones that are on your side. Find out the ones that are on your journey. You know, the ones that are just as committed to you as you are to them. You know, get rid of the ones that aren't. You know, trust me, there's no point in wasting your time. You know, time is precious. It really is. It you know, we get to a certain point where you never know what's around the corner. And I'm looking at the positives in life. Spend it with the people that truly care, not waste it on the ones that don't. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. So take care.